All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Now for Coming in Hot with Brent Wallace and former Ottawa Senators Bobby Ryan and Jason York.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Coming in Hot with Brent Wallace. Because right now, Yorkie is playing in a hockey tournament for Hockey Helps the Homeless, or as he likes to say, Hockey Fights the Homeless. And Bob is just, I think, finishing up an Easter egg hunt at his house. So Bob will join us shortly. Anyway, without further ado, though, because he's in the middle of traffic and I don't want to keep him, Darren Peng joins the show, longtime broadcaster, former Ottawa 67 Memorial Cup winner. I could go on, Penger, but one of the nicest men in hockey. So happy that you joined us.
Hey, Wally, great to see you again. And I know it's been a while going back to TSN, and I'm glad your show is great. You guys are doing an awesome job. And you probably know already how long I've known that York family.
Yes.
It's been forever. Boy, his dad, Jim and Judy and the whole gang of Jays, love them to death. So great work.
Well, and Yorkie was disappointed because he said, I've got great stories to talk about with Penger, because his dad coached you, if I'm not mistaken, and you played with the brothers.
That's right. You're exactly right. Yeah, Jim was the coach when we started out on the Nepean Baby Raiders, the Tyke. We had great players. My first year, because I would be the underage. There weren't that many goalies, let's face it, Wally. But I could catch pucks. I was fairly quick, so that helped me out. And then Doug Smith went second overall to the LA Kings from that team. Jeff York went on to college. We had a Jeffson that has done many things in the Ottawa area and played for the 67s. And then the next year I stayed with the team, and then Danny Quinn was our star player. And then anyways, years went on, Eiserman and I played together, and we played on the midget, the AAA team that went to the Air Canada Cup. And Steve got called up from the Bantam Nepean Raiders, Wally, and man, he was if he wasn't the best player in the whole Air Canada Cup, he was awfully close as a 14-year-old. But we had Jeff on that team. The next year I had Jeff and Jamie on the Nepean tier. Steve and I were on that team. Mark Patterson, Gil Egan, man, we had a good team. So I've really grown up with the York family. I could tell you their home phone number, but I won't say it on the air. But I, that is something that I find that really amusing. It's like I remember not very much in life, but I could remember the York's home number. So ask next time if it's still got that number, because otherwise I'd say it out loud and you'd be like, no way you know that number.
I've never heard of that Steve Yzerman guy, but we'll probably get back to him in a sec. Oh, Bobby's back from his Easter egg hunt, or at least that's
what it is. Oh, hey, Bobby, how are you?
Hanger, good to see you, man. How are you?
Good to see you, pal. It's great that you're doing great. Happy to see
you. I'm doing great.
I've seen you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm in a great place right now, so thank you. But I apologize when we changed from 2:30 because I'm an hour behind. I went to 2:30 in my mind, my time, not your time. So I apologize, guys. I was just sitting here having a salad, actually, hanging out.
No, it's been me, actually. I came back from Tampa Bay. I did the game there last night. Flight was delayed. I got to go to a doc's. Very very patient with me. And now you know Chicago traffic. It's
yep.
That's what I'm at. That's where I'm in right now. So.
Oh, you're having a blast.
It's a big city. Part of it, I don't miss it after returning after 20 some odd years of being away from it.
Yeah, you know what? We do have a picture of you playing with the Chicago Blackhawks. I don't know where to start. I'll get to that in a sec. But Panger, the one thing I want to talk about is my favorite part in the recent memory on television. And that's you in between benches for the St. Patrick's Day game. And I happen to flip over like just, I think, 30 seconds before this happens. And I'm like, is that Darren Pang? This is wild to me.
Oh, early in the game, and we're in New York City. I got there the day early. I found a couple of local pubs, and then I decided. My producer Joe Whalen on TNT. I said, Joe, I had a leprechaun hat with a beard, and he's like, oh boy. I'm like, when are we going on camera? He said, not in the open, but the first whistle will go on camera. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do right there. At the beard, over top of the headset, and get the microphone out. And at the same time, Brendan Burke, my play-by-play guy, he mixed up a concoction that made it look like green beer. So I had a blue and yellow, and it looked like perfect green draft beer sitting there on the side. And so I wanted to have that in the shot as well. And anyway, so it see Lafreniere. I didn't see him afterwards, but man, Bobby Ryan, he was looking at me like, what are you doing?
That was my question.
I had to hang in there, Bobby. And you know, it's a big game, you know, it's the Rangers and the Islanders. And I'm like, okay, how am I going to get in and out of this really fast? And so anyway, it worked out great. The boys actually liked it. I'm not sure. Alexi, I'll let him know, but or ask him about what he thought. But in last night's game, a couple of guys on was it on Boston? One guy in Boston said, "Hey, any care?" I'm like, "Oh boy, I better get away from those things on the side." But but amazing. It was a lot of fun. Got a lot of laughs, and as it turns out, you know, it didn't affect the game or the boys that much. I thought they got with how mundane the season is all the way around, I thought they got a good laugh out of it.
Yeah. You know what? You know how it is, games 55 through 73, 4 or 5, whatever. You're like, those are the dog days where you're just trying to get through it. So a good laugh would actually bring about a little bit of change in the routine. I was going to ask, did he say anything or did he just keep looking at you like that? Because the camera work is great. He looks so confused.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, it wasn't until later that I really saw his reaction, because I thought there in that shot that you're seeing, I thought I was actually below the boards. So I had no idea. And then I realized, you know, the camera down that you could even see me. I was trying to make it a big surprise where I was going to go down real low like a real leprechaun and just kind of jump right up there and say happy St. Patty's Day. But maybe the hat was taller than what I thought it was.
I do suggest anybody go listen to because the audio is what makes it. Because at the very end, you're like, this is the National Hockey League. It's so good. All right. We'll move on because I don't know how much time you have, and I don't want to eat it up. But Chicago's in town today, and I know you're not with the team, but you've covered them obviously all season. Can you give me a personal bird's eye view of what it's been like to cover Connor Bedard for the year, or what I guess he's gone through?
Yeah, this is actually exciting for me, to be honest with you. I've never had as a broadcaster where, other than doing national games and flying all over and, you know, and being with, you know, top guys like, you know, like Bobby and, you know, guys that when you get to a rink, you're like, oh, man, I can't wait to see this, seen him play before. And for Connor, when I signed with the Blackhawks to return here, I actually, at that time, the lottery hadn't happened. So I was kind of like at my lake house in Michigan, and I'm watching it with a couple of buddies of mine. And I'm like, oh, my, the Blackhawks got the first overall pick again. And I think my buddy said to me, like, you are with the Blackhawks now. And I'm like, great. You know, it was one of those things where, you know, because I think there was a little foul up on TV when they announced it. I think they kind of drop kicked Columbus. Remember that? Yes. It was kind of a funny thing. Like, all of a sudden, there was three teams. No, there was two teams. And actually, no, the Hawks got the number one pick. So anyway, fast forward, you know, I got to do a it was about 8,000 people at a draft party. I didn't go to, but the first thing I did was get on stage in front of 8,000 people in Chicago in my welcome back, and I interviewed Connor, and I'm thinking to myself, here's a kid, he's got AirPods on over there in Nashville, everything's going in front of 8,000 fans, and he was so good at what he said and how he said it. Bobby, I don't know what it was like for you at that age. This kid is so polished. He understands his role as an ambassador. Well, I know sometimes he listens to questions, and I get it. And he's going to be like Sydney or when you started or any of the other guys. And it's been like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you asked that question, but he still answers it with respect. And, and you know, being around him, let's face it, when he gets the puck, everybody kind of goes, you know, there's a certain amount of anticipation when he gets the puck that everybody looks at. So, great. He's to let you know about him as a person. My first return to St. Louis was just before Christmas, and Wayne Gretzky was in the building because he stays there in St. Louis. And after the game, he said, "Panger, can you take me down to the locker room? I just want to say hello to Connor Bedard." As if I need to bring Wayne Gretzky to the locker room, but anyway, I did anyway. And so they're pointing loss. He scored that lacrosse style goal and whatever, but they lost the game. And so he was a little bummed out, but he was great with Wayne. And as I was leaving, because they gave me a video return tribute, which was really awesome. And just to give you an idea where this kid's mind is and how he thinks about things and sees everything around him, he pulls me aside and he says, "Hey, Panger, that was a great video." And I was like, wow, like here you are with game. Wayne and I are walking away, but yeah, you pull me back and you make a mention of that. I thought it was outstanding. He just is a very observant kid, very well-spoken and very, very considerate. And as a player, it's very different. It's hard to compare that shot, that release, how he plays. He's not Connor McDavid. He's not Austin Matthews. He's not Sidney Crosby. He's just going to be Connor Bedard, in my opinion.
I like that. He seems wise beyond his years, but I got to switch topics just a little bit to ask about their best player and my boy, Tyler Johnson. How's he doing?
I knew this was coming.
Attaboy. Love Tyler Johnson. He's playing. He's red hot right now.
He's good.
He's playing really well. I'm really happy for him, you know? Yeah. Like you know, he's on the power play. He's in a good spot there. And you know, Bobby, he's got just great hockey sense. So you can plug him in anywhere. A couple of teams at the deadline that were, you know, wondering about, you know, where his game would be if he joined a playoff team. And I think what everybody always sees, Bobby, is that when the game's on the line, he knows how to make a good result. Yeah, it's been great being around him. I like it. I always call him little fella. "Hey, little fella, how you doing?" Of course, he could still eat an apple off my head, but he's great. Great to be around. Actually, to be around the older guys that are here, like, you know, I said that to Nick Foligno the other day. I said, "Nick, I'm selfishly as a broadcaster, I'm thrilled that you're here and thrilled that you signed for 2 years. Dickinson, Tyler Johnson, and Seth Jones. I mean, it's been a pleasure working with these guys. They work hard. They you know what? I'm really impressed with their attitude. Being last place team most of the year, and you would think they were a playoff bound team. So they've done a great job of keeping it going forward.
Good. So how's our Ottawa resident Luke Richardson, who, by the way, celebrated his 54th birthday 2 days ago. How's he doing with all of this? Right. I know it can't be easy. Yes, you want to coach in the National Hockey League, but to have, I guess, a losing record in your first couple of years it's got to be tough.
Well, yeah, because I mean, forever that record's going to stay with you, and it's not fair, but that's what it is, you know. Everybody recognizes Luke and how he handles things. If I was a player, I'd want to. I think he's had a long leash for a lot of players. I think he's been patient. He's given them opportunities. He's taught them. Just recently, you know, he stepped on them a little bit. They went into LA well, although LA's a, you know, they're too good of a team for the Hawks at this point in their, in their building. But then they went in, so they lost that game. They didn't show a lot of gumption in it. And then they went, they had an off day, bunch of the boys. They went to Napa. Some guys went to Alcatraz. And, you know, those are the kind of games that you rally and you show up and you play hard. I'm Bobby, you know. And instead, yeah, they were down 4-skunk right off the hop. You know, they ended up coming back and winning the game. But Luke handled it so well. The next day, the team flew back to Chicago. No practice. Obviously, it was a long day. Showed up at practice and they skated and they skated and they skated. And you know what? And Luke said it, like, that's not acceptable. It's not the culture we want to build. And I'm not letting you off the hook. And so he's done a lot of really good things. You know, stay with it and be professionals and be prepared.
Yeah, they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. So I don't know how much time you have, Penger. I apologize. I want to ask about Craig Berube, somebody you know awfully lot. And in this environment, he gets mentioned a lot as being a potential coaching candidate for Ottawa. So can you tell us as fans what maybe we don't know about Craig Berube that would make him a good fit in Ottawa? Or is he a good fit in Ottawa? Maybe I'll start with that.
Yeah, it is a good question. I believe he'd be a great fit anywhere. That's my opinion. I was with him for an extended period of time just prior to the Stanley Cup win and obviously following that and until I left this year. I love the guy. I think he can adapt to anything. The work in, he's very simple. He's not going to, if you ask him a question about hockey, he's not going to stand there and build a watch for you. He's going to answer the questions. And that's going to be it. And you, sometimes you're left hanging, but that's Chief. He's not good enough. And I love that. I love the way he is like that. And I think he'd be a perfect complement for the Ottawa Senators and what's being trying to build, what they're trying to build. Dave Poulin knows him great. I was just with Rob Murphy, actually. He was scouting the game last night, and we were talking about that as well. And just going, you know, just talking about a number of coaches that are out there. And obviously Chief's name just pops. I think, anyway, you guys would absolutely love him. I mean, just love him. I think he's very fair. I think he's got a great approach to it because it's not an issue, but he ended up getting fired. But, you know, the game changed. There's an evolution in the game. There's players that were brought in that weren't Alexander Steens. And at that time, Sundquist's were gone and Barbashev and players that played his way. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was a change in type of player. And so he loves guys that hold on to pucks. He loves guys that, you know, don't just shoot. He doesn't want pucks to be given up. He wants you to play a down low game, get it back to the grind, the other team down. And it's very, very simple. And if you play that way, you're going to get rewarded for him and he'll have your back.
Well, he'd have a hell of a time with some of the skill guys in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Well, but they need that.
Like Jordan Kyrou came from junior hockey where, you know, his coaches let him play for 3.5 minutes. It didn't matter what he did. Like, if he iced the puck, he iced the puck. If he was offside, he was offside. He, like, repercussions, which is typical, as you know, Bobby, in junior hockey. Yeah. You're a star player. Your coach needs you to do whatever, and that happens. So I think that he's also probably learned a lot from what he went through in St. Louis. But I'm telling you what, I think he'd be great for a number of teams, and certainly Ottawa would be one of them.
I got to ask, your 1988-89 Chicago team was perhaps the smartest team that I have seen assembled. You have head coaches Dennis Savard, Dirk Graham, Trent Yanni, Dwayne Sutter, Bruce Cassidy, Steve Ledzik, Greg Gilbert, Jim Playfair, all on that team, and Mark Bergevin and Bob Murray as GMs. Like,
wow.
Was there any sense of how Doug
Wilson?
That's amazing to me. That
I didn't know that at the time. Yeah. And, you know, like Steve Thomas became an assistant coach, nearly won a Stanley Cup, went to the final in 15 with San Jose. What a team we had. Amazing. Really remarkable group of guys. We had to battle a coach named Mike Keenan that year. And was something that a lot of us, you know, we'd handled that before, but he was a different animal coming into Chicago, having full power. And you saw what guys were going to be like and how we bonded together. And we got all the way to the conference final that year, barely making the playoffs. I think Troy Murray stripped the puck from Todd Gill, beat Alan Bester over the glove in overtime, and we got to the playoffs. And then the number one overall team, Detroit, and then we knocked off, I think, St. Louis. And then we went all the way to the conference final and lost to the eventual champion, Calgary Flames. So it's a great group of guys. I'm still in touch with Dirk for the San Jose Sharks. Troy Murray's doing the radio. And he's actually going to do TV tonight and take my place in Ottawa. And so a number of guys are still close friends of mine. Look at those. Okay, so, are you taking a close look at that gear right there?
It's solid.
It's hard to believe that wasn't a scoring error. Well, I guess it was somewhere. That wasn't dead puck yet, was it, at that point?
No, that was wide open. There, I checked. The two wingers said they got the 2D. The centerman had the centerman. You know what I mean? And the wingers had the 2D. But that equipment there was by Brian's and reverse VH on the short side. Okay, just go back to that picture again. That is not beating me on the short side. I promise you that. See that? Stick position. Bobby, you would try to pass sticks right there. You try to bank it off my side. No way. You can maybe hit me in the face, but it's not going to go in the net right there.
Speaking of which,
must have weighed 1 million pounds back then, though, when they got wet, comparatively today.
It was a little heavy. Yeah. Yeah, because it was still deer hair. And deer hair was probably the most. And so, it did get soaked up a little bit. But I was right at the, you know, I was getting close, though, Bobby, with the, you know, with the newer stuff. And and so, you know, even that, you saw the blocker there, the one the guys wear today. The catching gloves, bigger than the one they wear today. The pads were wider than what they wear today. But what wasn't was, you know, your chest protector and my pants.
Right.
And my sweater was a size 56. So, like, no way. Know, those are the big differences I can see. Yeah. So, you know, there's a little bit of room there. Oh, the old Ottawa 67s. That's good memories there, Wally. Attaboy.
I have the same goalie stick as a Billy Smith.
The coho?
Yeah, that's the a black coho, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's, so.
We're celebrating 40 years. We're all getting together this summer in Toronto. It's going to be great.
I was going to say, you guys have that 40-year anniversary coming up, which was a great team. Do you know who scored the most goals on you in your NHL career?
Yes, I do. Joe Mullen.
Who is it? No, it's not.
Is that right?
Joe Mullen had 5. Danny... Mike Gartner had 6.
Mike Gartner, shoot. Man, oh, man. They always told me, watch out. Watch out for Mike. He'll go fast. He'll fake the shot, go around the net. And that's what he did the first time he scored on me.
He had a pretty good career, so it's okay. I was curious if Steve Yzerman was going to be the guy. That's why I ended up looking up everybody who scored on you. Did he ever say anything?
No, we had a little bet, Wally, when if I stopped him, I made sure that I got a piece of that. And he's like, off the post. I think he was so excited that I made it to the NHL, you know, being such friends for such a long time. And, you know, he knew I wasn't getting much of a break, but he would come down to San Jose and he'd come all the way from, you know, he'd come from Detroit on an off night and he'd show up and he'd be in the stands at Kalamazoo or Saginaw and he'd be sitting there just watching the game. And then we'd go out afterwards for a cold pop and so I think he was just more excited that I was actually in the NHL and
awesome.
And he's always felt that way. He's a great friend. He still is a dear friend and one of the most loyal people you'll ever ask for.
That's very cool.
So let me then ask about the Olympics. I was told that you were very much involved with Steve going over player selections. Could that be true?
Player selection, no.
Sounding board,
his own
if
staff
you will.
There. Yeah, for sure. Sounding board for sure. And still am to this day. I mean, that's what friends are for. And, but I think the one thing that I experienced, the 97 World Championships, it was his first. So I was on pretty much every conference call, helped him with the goaltending and some other players as well. And then And he always said, I'm not going to tell anybody you're doing it. And I said, why not? He goes, well, just in case it doesn't go well, I don't want you to take any heat. He was always really good like that. And and then, you know, that year, medal, and I actually got a gold medal out of that, which was very nice of Bob Nicholson in Hockey Canada. And then the 2010 Olympics, what I did do, Wally, was I did the research on and the scouting reports on all the other countries' goaltenders. So okay. I did that, you know, very discreetly. I gave the reports to Mike Babcock, was with the video coaches of Hockey Canada. And then I did that for 2014. 2014, I did a much better job. I think we were more in sync in 14. And obviously worked out great again. They won gold. Although Carey Price was unbelievable. Maybe the way they played, maybe I could have been the goaltender for Team Canada, Bobby. I'm not sure. No, I couldn't have been.
Yep.
But anyway, it was a great experience. And I remember talking to Steve from Russia before the gold medal game, going over the scouting reports, going over the clips that they had. And he was, you know, very satisfied and very confident. And then they end up winning. And then he called me right from there. And that was an unreal experience, to be quite honest. Be a very, very, very small part of that with Steve.
That's not true. And I meant to bring that up before I sent you or told you this publicly, but I'd always heard this story and I wanted to ask you about it. So,
It was great. I mean, really, it was a lot of you should ask Kelly Chase about me being on the plane with him and sitting there and just diving through video and going through video and making these clips. And Babcock really likes things specific. He liked, chances off the rush, chances off the cycle, chances on jam plays, wraparound plays, a right-hand shot, left-hand shot. So that was, to me, that was the biggest challenge. And it made my broadcasting way better because I was getting to work again. You know, I was grinding it out. And I really had a fun time doing that.
I got to ask, yeah, well, first of all, I can't wait to see Kelly Chase. I really hope that the health permits him to be in Coeur d'Alene this summer, because it's not the same without him up there. But I was going to switch gears to Dave Pullen. Obviously, you guys have a relationship, and it's hard for me. We've talked about him ad nauseum, and we've had him on the show, and he's one of the nicest, most well-respected people that I've come across in the game. I never heard a bad word about him. So I was wondering what your thoughts on his role in Ottawa is and what you think of him being in the role.
Yeah, great question.
As far as what he brings in a culture sense, I guess.
Well, I'm really excited. As soon as he got the position, I texted him right away. In 1996, 97, 98, he called me. I was living in Chicago. I was working for ESPN. So I had some time. I had any interest in being his goalie coach at Notre Dame as a volunteer coach. So I was with him for 3 years. So I really got to get to know him, lived, you know, stayed at his place when I go there for the weekends or stay for practices for a couple of days. And I really have a lot of admiration for him, Bobby. He thinks the game so well, but he hasn't lost sight of the fabric of the game. And you know exactly what that means. The kind of characters that you need in a locker room, the kind of culture that you need to build, the kind of guys that aren't afraid to tell a player on the bench that, you know, that shift is unacceptable. You know, that you put bad spot. So I'm really happy with him and Steve, and I think they're going to be really good together. As you guys know, he's very cerebral. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a highly intelligent guy, but he knows, I think, to build a team and which players to move along and which players to keep and which players to build around. So I think you're in good hands.
That's a great answer for the summer ahead of the Ottawa Senators. So it's nice that's nice for our listeners to hear.
Do you have to go, Perry? Yeah. I know you're parked.
Yeah, let me see. My driver's right here. Look, here's my. Oh. Hey, buddy, should I go yet or?
Okay.
Just a couple of minutes. Yeah, I think we're okay for a couple of minutes. Okay.
Okay. So, you would know basically everybody in hockey. In fact, I didn't know this until I started. I Googled you across the internet. You played for Jacques Martin.
I did. Yeah, I did. I took a picture of me and Jacques. That's right. In Chicago in 1989-90, I think. He was, a former goalie. But I knew Jacques from the Tier 2 days of Central Junior A when Steve and I were playing for the Nepean Raiders. We played, I think, the first or the second round, and Jacques was coaching then. So, you know, that's how long I go back with Jacques. And then he was in Peterborough, and Steve was in Peterborough. And Dave, he came to my house in Nepean, and he he was hoping to draft me to Peterborough, and I ended up getting drafted a little earlier to the Belleville Bulls. But I thought we were, and as it turns out, years later, we were together, and he was with Mike Keenan. So it wasn't the funnest of times, to be honest with you, but I always liked Jacques. I always kept in touch with him, and I just saw him just recently, and me and Jacques were in the hallway, and I took a picture of us all together talking about the old days, because we were all there those years together. So it's funny seeing him on the bench. I even said that to him. I said, man, Jocko, 900 coaches, like, how are you doing this? And anyway, he's still got a good hockey mind, and he's still watching enough hockey to be able to jump right into it.
He's extremely talented. Okay, your favorite hockey memory before we let you go?
Well, the Memorial Cup for sure. Getting traded to the Ottawa 67s from the Belleville Bulls, where I was really struggling confidence wise and really having a hard time. I was in music, and I knew that wasn't me. And then all of a sudden I got traded to Ottawa. That Brian Kilray saved my life, I think, literally. Who knows? But I was really in a bad hole. So I play with him. We go to Kingston, and he asked me, Pang, I know you're cocky and stuff, but you think you should play tonight? And I said, absolutely, killer, I should play. And he said, all right. And that first star, win the bus, in the back, playing cards with Bradshaw and Cassidy and all the boys. And it was like, man, I just got saved. And so it was awesome. So that would be number one for sure. Playing in the NHL, I mean, my goodness, you fuck sweater. You walk up, there's 22 steps. Bobby, you would have loved the old Chicago Stadium. 22 steps to get up from the bowels of the stadium. It's all linoleum, so it's a little slippery. And I tell you what, if you've had a couple of too many pops the night before, that second half of the 22 steps got a little bit hard. And then you get to the very top, and man, the crescendo of fans and the energy is just like, I'm telling you what, the hair on my arms are standing up right now just thinking back. So that's how great it was. So that to me is just playing in the NHL. And then I guess, I mean, I got to be a national broadcaster right off the hop, and I got to be on the ice when Steve Yzerman won the Stanley Cup. I interviewed him on the ice in 97 for ESPN, 98 for ESPN, Olympics. So I was with him there. I did the 2002 Olympics. I was with him there in the locker room having a cold beer afterwards. And then I was with him in 2002, again, on the ice interviewing him when he won his last Stanley Cup. So, I mean, of my life as a broadcaster for sure.
That's pretty amazing. Cool.
You tell him to lighten up a little?
Yeah, I do. I make him laugh. He's a smart aleck. He's a funny guy. He's smart aleck. He can really give it to you, but, you know, he takes his job really seriously, man. And he really wants to do great things. And that's why he's kind of like he is. But he's not really like that. Trust me on that.
So, well, it's funny because I went to his brother's wedding, and he gave the speech at the reception. And it was actually very funny. And I was like, wait a second, who's the Steve Yzerman guy? As we're huddled around the shrimp
tray. Well,
Bobby
knows him. Yeah. Hey, Bobby. Yeah. I mean, you know what he's like in a locker room. He's not going to
tulips.
You know, he's just like, here it is. Here's what you got to do. Here's where you're going to be. And if it doesn't work out, we're all good. You know, I mean, that's what
exactly
in every,
very accurate
in every walk. Yeah.
Yeah. You're extremely accurate.
I told you I wouldn't keep you as long as I did. I apologize, but
he does it every time.
I do it every time. I appreciate you, Wally, stopping by. I did cut it down.
Tell Yorkie I say hello.
We will. I will. Pleasure to see you, man. It's great to see you. Thank you.
Darren, awesome guy. I've been so excited to get him on. We could have probably talked for another 4 hours. There's so many other things I could say about Darren Pang, but he was a Calder finalist in his rookie year. In fact, he had the franchise record for the Chicago Blackhawks with 6 assists in one season. Anyway, he's just done a lot of things. I just really think the world of him. So
yeah, he's been around. And when you talk about pulling, I've never heard a bad word about Darren Pang. Everybody loves him. Everybody loves him.
If you've got something to say about Darren Pang that's not positive, then
it's probably on you.
Yeah. It might be a reflection of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So now we can get to last night's game and set you up for today's game. But I do have a note that it's not the greatest note in the world. You know what? We'll do that in Wendy's Did You Know? But let's take care of some business. Oh, and by the way, Bob, in Nashville the last 2 days, BEI president Mark Enright was there. They were at some tractor paving something conference.
Yeah. He didn't want to give me a shout.
Well, he's like, you know what? I totally forgot. He's like, does Bob live downtown? I was like, no, no, no. He lives like a half hour away. He goes, he wouldn't want to probably hung out with us the last 2 days. So
yeah, probably a little bit of degenerate going on down there. So I'm good. I would have popped up to say hello, but it's not an easy drive. It's a hike up there. And I got to be up there three of the next 4 days. I can't wait.
Why? So, what are you doing?
Man, I'm on the world tour. I got the kids. We're doing all sorts of different fun stuff for Easter. So we're going to be around.
Doing the Country Music Hall of Fame.
No, we're not doing that. I am seeing Fallout Boy on Sunday night. A little throwback to the early 2000s. I'm going to go see Fallout Boy.
Oh, I like them. By the way, our guy Talk, his music is everywhere. In the last couple of nights on Sportsnet, they've been playing his music all along.
I gave him a follow. His that last album is very, very good.
It's phenomenal. Yeah, you know who he reminds me of? And I want to bring him on the show. He reminds me of a modern-day Meatloaf.
Oh, okay. I could see that.
That kind of flamboyant, very much a performer. With really good music, I think he could be.
That's a good point. Yeah, I can see
Meatloaf
that.
Meatloaf was a huge star.
Before my time.
Before mine, I still bought the album.
Fair enough. Okay. All right. I might even have his album in here. So I got a lot of albums. I just go in and spend money on them when I'm bored. I'm like, I love listening to an album.
Are you a vinyl, like a pure vinyl or just like a CD?
Vinyl. Love a vinyl. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm looking at it. Yep. Love it.
When did you get into vinyl?
Not that long ago, a couple years ago, and then just kind of blew it. Yeah. My collection's actually relatively small, but, I found a couple cool local, like little independent. I love going to an independent music or a bookstore and spending money as opposed to a Barnes & Noble or they don't even exist anymore. Tower Records or FYI or whatever they were in Canada. I love the little mom and pop stuff. So, yeah. Big vinyl guy.
Favorite album? Like, it doesn't have to be music wise, just album in general.
Oh, man.
What's your favorite piece of your collection?
I think I listened to, James Bay and Ray LaMontagne are my probably two biggest albums, but I love the vinyl of Incubus, Make Yourself, one of the greatest albums ever. I love that. I could listen to that all day.
Young Zachary, 96, would like to know, does Bobby still dislike Bruno Mars?
I don't dislike Bruno Mars. I could not stand that one song. I don't remember what the song was. Oh my God.
I don't like any of them, so it's okay.
Yeah, but I will give him this incredible performer. I've never seen him live, but I've seen the videos of like when he performs on the music award shows and whatever. He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not buying his album. I'll put it that way.
All right, let's get on to the game. First of all, let's take care of some business. This show proudly presented by Betway, our good friends. Must be 19 plus. Please play responsibly. Bet your way with Betway. Lock of the day coming up shortly.
Oh, and as always, for the guys that just dissed me, our friends at BEI, the heavy civil general contractor in the public and the private sectors, they've been helping to shape the Ottawa Valley. When planning your next project, consider BEI for your aggregate supply needs, including all things from equipment rentals to aggregate and topsoil sands, concrete formwork. If you got it, they can move it. Website is bonnetshoreexcavating.com or at 613-432-1120. BEI, helping to shape Ottawa Valley.
And I'll take this one today, Yorkie. There we should record Yorkie maybe doing this. Get a great night's sleep and a pregame nap with a Douglas mattress. Named Canada's best mattress on Canadian Living. Unrivaled comfort and feel, motion isolation, sleeps cool, relieves pressure points. And of course, just a great value. Loved by more than 200,000 Canadians. Easy online ordering. Usually you get it delivered in 1 to 4 business days. Free shipping. And every mattress comes with a free comfort sleep bundle. That's pillows, sheets, and a mattress protector. Order at Douglas today. Start your 365-night sleep trial by visiting douglas.ca/CIH. Canada's best mattress made by Canadians. All right.
I actually have our, I think it's our Facebook chat, and the Kings of Leon are getting a lot of love over here.
They're extremely good.
They go to church, right? The same church I go to. So really? I had no clue. Yeah. And I had no clue who they were, but somebody pointed them out to me. Being in Franklin, Tennessee, that's where they all moved down here because they don't want to be downtown, right? So it's a little quieter for them. Nobody even bothered them there, but they were really. I like the band. I liked them a lot. I wouldn't go see them live, but I'll have all their albums. Yeah.
I would. I've got at least I think I have two CDs
You got the A-tracks?
So my dad had an A-track player. Can you, when you're at church, can you just maybe, I don't know, you could give him a t-shirt and just ask him to come on the show.
I'll do my best. I'll start walking around with the Pin Dick shirt.
And you know what? On second thought, I'll take care of it.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
last night's game was a, well, a fun one to watch, especially if you happen to pick the Ottawa Senators to win the game as I did.
Yeah, it worked for you. Yeah.
Those are now, one of those
is this your time? Are you making your move now?
I'm making the run now. This is, okay. I'm now one game below 500. Everything seemed to go right. Shane Pinto with a 4-point night, his first, and as John Perlberg pointed out, first time an Ottawa Senator, an American born Ottawa Senator, had 4 points and was a plus four in the same game.
No way. That's pretty cool. I thought he was phenomenal. And it was just, he had a couple secondary assists, right? That great. But I thought he was phenomenal with his decisions all night long. And the best play for me of the game was that pass to Chychrun off the backhand through the entire box on that goal. It's just, man, he's getting expensive. He's like, you look at that's, you. Yeah. God, I bet they wish they're going, God, I wish we would have signed them. And before we knew, cause I don't think anybody expected the offensive place to be where, I see something coming up on the bottom of the board there. He is getting expensive. Yes. Yeah. I don't think anybody expected the offensive output, as much as we knew he was a cerebral defensive two-way player. It's he's putting points up and he's making a case for himself. So what do you do? I would hate to be the guys trying to negotiate that contract right now.
Well, so that's the thing. Like, I know Mike Johnson, this was off topic, but Mike Johnson, I think today on TSN radio said, I wouldn't be shocked if Pinner signed a 1-year deal offered by the team as a show me contract. And I'm like, I don't think that would be a good idea.
Like, no, that would be, he'd be losing
Pinto
money.
For me, untouchable.
I'm getting there with you too. Yes. Yeah. I say that now because I don't know what his next contract is going to look like, but you got somebody, if you're going to sign Pinner to a big time contract, somebody's moving. Somebody has to move out. Right? And I don't know who that somebody is, but man, he's earning every dollar right now. And I think I don't know what his offensive ceiling is. It's kind of hard to say because he makes all the right plays. He's got a great shot. He scores some goals. If I'm Ottawa, I would love to see a 1-year deal. If I'm the team and the organization, I'm going, great, that'd be amazing, please and thank you. But I don't see him doing that at all.
But let me put it to you this way, though. You don't, if you take the $5 million of Vladimir Tarasenko got, and so they've obviously moved it away, then there's some money there as a top six for Shane Pinto.
Well, if you're Shane Pinto, are you signing for a $5 million deal?
Yeah, I think you have to.
I think, yeah.
You think he's more than $5 million right now? He's got 129 Man. Games, 68 points.
So, here's the thing. You got to take 30 to 40 of those games out of the way because that's adjusting to the league. So this is what have you done for me lately? And lately he's been their best player.
You take the last 2 years, which he played a full year last year and 30 games this year, so that's 111 games. He's got 60 points.
Okay, so he's a 40. That puts you at a 50 point pace guy, but I think the last this part of the season is more indicative than that overall landscape. I think he's a 55, 60 point player, and I don't know what that gets you, but if I'm Pinto, like right-handed centers that can put up 55 points and play both ways,
6'3"
and yeah, they don't grow on trees. They're hard to come by. So he knows, and I don't know who his agent is. Do you?
Yeah, we have looked it up in the past. I can never remember his name, but yeah, it's a separate. It's not like
it's not a big name. It's not a
no. Yeah, but okay. I'll tell you in a sec.
I guarantee you, they know it too, right?
Yeah, like he's plus 11 on this roster, Bob.
It's pretty impressive. They don't have enough players that aren't deficient.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
That aren't without faults defensively, and he's pretty damn close to unfaultable defensively.
Steve Staios, and I remember, and Jacques and the entire organization said, we want 200-foot players. Well, that is Exhibit A.
Yeah, that is your – that if I mean, he's your poster boy if that's what you're talking about. So yeah. I'd be doing it. I'd do everything in my power. He's as close to Timmy Stützle and Tkachuk and Batherson contract-wise as it gets. Like, you got to get him up there with those guys.
He's your number one center right now.
He's your number one center. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what that, I would hate to be making decisions right now. Like, luckily they have it. I mean, I would hate to be making decisions because it's hard. You got to move a big contract. You got to shake the core up. We've talked about it. I just don't know who it is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So can you win with Tkachuk, Pinto, Batherson, Giroux, Norris, Stützle? Can you win with those six? That, I guess that becomes the ultimate question. But how would you know if you don't have a goaltender?
And how would you know if Josh is not unhealthy? That's a bit, right? Yep. Like, that hurts because you don't know what you're getting out of him. And that's not his fault. That's a big injury. And yeah, to your point, they have no clue if you have a goaltender or not. So,
but
that does,
as of right now,
that changes things a little bit.
As of right now, Jonas Korpisalo is unbeatable.
The damn Sens giving us hope at the end of the year again.
Why? So now we got to be like, oh, well, I've never doubted Korpisalo all along. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
He does look really good. He looks really comfortable. We'll see tonight as Forsberg goes back in against Chicago. Forsberg's got one win in his last five. I'm not as confident, but like, you can't fault Korpisalo's game at the moment. But the problem is, we just want to look at like the last five games or the last four games.
Yeah. And you're forgetting the rest of the year, right?
When the games mattered. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more.
How much fun are games like last night to play if you are a member of the Ottawa Senators?
The first period's amazing. The second and third suck. Like, they suck because it's like, they just don't end. Right. Whenever there's a blowout, and let's just say a blowout, we'll say it's 4-0. At the end of the first, you're like, maybe if we score the next one in the first 10, we can start to think about it. But you pretty much know the game's over and you're just running out the time, right? And it doesn't get chippy because it's too big and it's not close. It's just, they suck. They suck because the game slows down. Now guys don't want to get hurt. There's a lot of dump ins. Other guys think it's point night, so they want to get on the board. It's just kind of it's a wash for 40 minutes. And that game, to be fair to the players, stayed a little more upbeat, but I was like, do I turn this off or do I finish it out? And I finished it out, and they're just annoying to play. They really are.
But wait a sec. You're an offensive player. Are you not going, it's point night?
You know what's funny? In blowout games, I was never on the board much. I noticed that throughout my career. Like I remember,
really,
I remember we were winning 6-1 in Colorado one time when I was with Anaheim, and Getzlaff was playing a little better than Pears and I. Coach came down and he's like, "You guys are -1." He's like, "Yeah, yeah." He's like, "You have no points." We're like, "We're having a night, okay?" And it was like, it was Carlisle, and to his credit, like he's always been real, he's really hard and mean, and he's got a reputation. He came down and it was 6-1, and he was laughing, and he's like, "Did you two go out? Like, what is happening?" He's like, "We were like, no, we're just having a night, okay?" And he's like, "Well, you picked a good one. Sit down." And we were like, "Okay, deal." Like, I've always been one of those guys that in a point night system, I just wasn't on the board. Never really? Was. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Because you're obviously an offensive threat every time, did it bug you? Because I know, like, even my kid or whatever be like, "We scored 9 goals and I didn't even get a goal." Or I'm like, "Okay, well, whatever." Did it bug you not to be one of the stars?
No, absolutely not. Took the pressure off, right? Because that's like, especially when we were in Anaheim, we were really a 1.5 line team. So if we weren't scoring a lot of nights, we weren't in games. But when your 3rd and 4th line could take that pressure off of you for a night, absolutely loved it. It was just, it was, and you want, you got, you, like, those are the guys where they go into a contract negotiation at the end of the year and they're like, "Well, I had 12 points, not 10, right? It changes things for him. I just wanted those guys to get their cookies all the time. I was happy for him. So I was rooting them on.
Well, they did that last night. That fourth line looked really, really good with Parker Kelly, Boris Tkachuk, and Mark Kastlik, which leads us into our hot and cold performer. Yes, I know Shane Pinto had a 4-point game and it was a +4, but I feel like we've talked an awful lot about their game or his game. So I'm opening it up to someone else today. And that is brought to you by DoorDash, as always. I go to DoorDash, download the app, get everything you need, even at the last minute. Double Dash on DoorDash. You can order from multiple restaurants in the same delivery. For a limited time, our listeners get 25% off, 0 delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app. Enter code NATION25, all uppercase letters, NATION25. 25% off up to a $10 value, 0 delivery fees in your first order when you download the DoorDash app. Enter code NATION25. Offered valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms apply. This is the new guy who played his 10th game with the Ottawa Senators last night, Boris Tkachuk. I thought, you know, the Zub goal, I think, was the one that he could have had the 2 goals on. He scored his first goals in Ottawa Senator. 3 shots on goal. His point total of 2 points, I think, ties a career high. He played 10:35, which was his second best ice time he's had this season with Ottawa. I thought he just looked really good. And I think he's been, for a fourth line guy, I'm not trying to make him a first line player, but for a guy that's been on the fourth line, I thought he's been okay.
Yeah, I thought so. I think when you're right, the fourth line's there for your energy and you're not any offense is a bonus, right? But you put him in that role and, I guess you're looking for him to move bodies around to get to the front of the net, which he did on the goal. That was a great tip. Great hand-eye coordination on the tip. Loved the celly. He was excited and fired up. So, again, any offense is a bonus. But I think he's just been steady. I think he's got some chemistry with Parker Kelly, too. They seem to – and Castle looks a nice compliment. But I think him and Kelly have a little chemistry. And if he has chemistry with Kelly, that's going to take him a long way because Kelly's a mainstay on this roster right now with the way he plays.
So here it is, leads me to this question of, we a lot of times like to look at guys on the fourth line and go, "Man, they'll be great next year. That's what we need." But I'm starting to wonder for this roster, and we've talked about it at the beginning of the year, we need veterans, we need guys who have been there and kind of know how to play that role. Is this fourth line good enough for next year, or does there need to be change to it? You understand what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
You know what I mean? Really? But I don't know that they're good enough for this team to be really successful.
I understand what you're saying. You know what I'd be really interested in doing is taking a deeper dive on the better fourth lines across the league and who's the highest playing fourth lines, like the one that's been there forever. And I'm just going to use as an example is the one in the New York Islanders, right? With
Clutterbuck, Martin.
Yeah. And they're the most physical fourth line in the league, I would say for sure. But I don't know. I think I would like to see a bigger sample size of them together. Like I'd love to see them as a fourth line finish the season out, not have a lot of in and outs. Just give them a little time to see if the chemistry is there. Cause Parker Kelly's going to be there. He does too many. He's got too many intangibles in the way he kills and whatever you need him. It's about fitting a fourth line around the center. and Kelly. And I think he's, I think Boris Kachuk is a perfect fourth line player. I think he needs more reps, and I would love to see him get more reps for the rest of the year. And then I would be able to have a better assessment, but I do want to see about the, how would you debate the top fourth lines in the league? Ice time or chances or hits, whatever it might be. I would like to see where you could slot them in. They'd be a middle of the road fourth line, but they give you something.
The thing is, I love Mark Kastelic. That's a huge body who is great on faceoffs. And if he gets going physically, I think he can become a difference maker of changing, I think, momentum. I think that he can be that guy. I just want to see him do that consistently.
He's a little soft.
Yes. But I don't think that that's necessarily his game. I'm just wondering if he's dipping his toe in the water and not fully committing.
Yeah. I like the way you just said that, because I think that's a great assessment of possibly what's happening. But he just, yeah, he just like, was he a very offensive player at the levels below this?
Why do I feel like yes, he was, but I will tell you in 1 second.
Because it does, I think there's a shift, and that shift has to happen mentally for you to say, okay, if I'm going to play in this league and be a fourth line player, like you have to mentally shift out of, I'm not a point guy anymore or whatever.
He had in Calgary in his, should be his draft year, 47 goals, 77 points. He had 38 in his last year, 23 in the year before that. 122 penalty minutes in 66 games and 83 minutes in 58 in his last. So yeah, like he's a well-rounded to me hockey player.
Yeah. And that to me, like, I mean, I can tell you one thing. He's never going to be a scorer in the NHL. Right. Not to discredit the player. It's just not like, I can't see it. Can you?
Well, so here, but, and Bob, you've seen this before. We like to pigeonhole players, and organizations do the same thing. And then eventually we find out, well, you know what? Maybe they're a second line center. I'm not saying that about Mark Kastelic. I don't know what he is.
I think he's a fourth line center. I think he's a fringe NHL guy like that can sit there on your fourth line and be a great fourth liner if he buys in and doesn't dip his toe. And I think when you play that role coming off of scoring 40 or 47, whatever it is in juniors, like it takes a minute to understand and to mentally say, I'm not that guy up here. That's okay. I found what I need to do. And I don't know if he's fully vested in being able to say that yet.
And that's the flip side of, if he gets traded, no one's really going to be disappointed or upset, if you will, because we've never seen perhaps what he can be. I just want you to make the team better. If that means you got to move people out that are already there, I'm okay with it. I just want more success, because like, and then this isn't a shot at the Buffalo Sabres. I just don't want to see 12 years of without playoffs or even a sniff of it. And I feel like, so do whatever it takes.
Yeah, it's true. I don't think they're ever going to see 12 years. How many are we at now? Seven, six,
seven.
Is it? Yeah. I don't think that's not a danger. This team is going to get there.
Yorkie, this is how angry I am with you. I called you Yorkie. You don't know, like, it can take 1 sec of making one bad move, and all of a sudden you're hampered for 2 years. Your goaltending is a massive problem right now, I think.
Well, Pierre made all those bad moves.
So I understand, but you got to work your way through it.
We're going up.
You could be 3 years now, and then you're into 10.
I don't know. True, but I don't. I just think they got too many of the right people in places making bigger decisions now that will bring in the right people. Surround Brady, Tim, whatever defenseman you decide on, Sanderson for one, Pinto. Like, they're just going to surround them with the right pieces, and they're going to make the team better. The goaltending's glaring. It has to be fixed. But if Corpusello runs out the rest of the year at this, I think Chiesa earned the opportunity to start next year and get his and then you see where he's at. Unless something happens and you can move him this summer, I don't see that happening to you.
Okay, but great that here's another audition, and then your season's gone.
I don't know. They're not gonna have the start that they had this year. There were too many things in limbo this year that let the start become the middle of the season. That will not be the case next year. There's no way. There's no way. Though I've had camps with DJ. They're a little country clubbish, right? Fitness testing is hard. Obviously, it's hard everywhere. But the camps in general were just a little country clubbish. So whoever comes in has to set the tone from day one at camp and just bury these guys and say we're going. Because remember the first 10 games this year? We're like, what's going on? Like, they're not at the energy level that they're supposed to be at. Mm-hmm. So that for me would be the biggest thing. Day one of training camp has got to be a bloodbath. Like, it has to be. You have to absolutely skate these guys into the ground, put the systems in place, install. And it's tough with the CBA. You can only keep them for 3 hours, but there, you got to set the tone in some way, shape, or form. And I think the people making those decisions understand that. I believe that.
The good news is I heard all training camp will be at the Canadian Tire Center this year. So there's no back and forth with your favorite place, the Bell Sens place. So
great rank, worst place in the world. Like,
they are building, though. They're putting in a locker room that the Sens will be able to, same spot that you guys would change in, but you're going to build an actual real kind of room for the local AAA team. And you guys are going to use it.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that makes it better for sure. Because it was, man, that place.
Nothing like driving over in your gear.
It was brutal. Brutal.
So let's get to, you know what? I want to do it's giveaway week. And I've completely forgot to mention this off the top. So today is our last day of giveaway week. It's a hoodie and a hat. We just had hats. I just got hats arrive. So I just want you to go to Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. I would think you should follow us on Twitter and on Instagram if you want to win. I'm not saying that's the ultimate, but it's probably a better idea. And then we'll pick the winner.
I like the hoodie. The second hoodie I bought, sorry to interrupt. Yeah. The second hoodie fits amazing. I love it.
So, yes. They are pretty comfortable. Actually, my daughter now wants one. So we will get to that. So just anyway. Go to Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Just say hashtag I'm coming in hot. I will pick a winner for Monday and I'll announce it on Monday. Last winner was, where did I put it? Winker91. And so I reached out to him earlier today. I'm going to get him his t-shirt and I got to add something else. Maybe it's a hat. I don't know. Bob, I need to borrow some money from you for all this stuff. Okay.
Okay, deal.
So, anyway, that's our contest. Now, well, let's get to the Wendy's part of Did You Know before we get into, because it may affect, Bob, your decision of who you may pick in tonight's game as they host Connor Bedard and the Chicago Blackhawks. Brought to you by Wendy's, which is helping you win real food with the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. Go to dailyfaceoff.com. Click on the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool up in the corner. The only thing sweeter than the taste of victory is starting your day with the new Cinnabon Pull-Aparts. They are fantastic. But there's no reason you can't have both now at Wendy's, and Daily Faceoff are giving you a chance to win weekly prizes all season long. Right now, head over to Wendy's and order a $5 Cinnabon pull-apart and small coffee. Small coffee, it's a fantastic choice. Sign up for the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool today, sponsored by Wendy's and the Wendy's app. Wendy's, I'm loving it. So, Bob, the Sens enter tonight's game having not beat the Chicago Blackhawks in 11 straight games. They're 0-7-4. Making it the sixth longest winless streak versus an opponent in franchise history. The other part of that is all those other ones are really early on Ottawa Senators when the team was just horrendous. This one is a little more surprising. Like, it's Chicago, which hasn't been exactly a barn burner of a team the last couple of years. And nonetheless, they're 0-7-4 in their last 11 games against the Chicago Blackhawks. Crazy to me.
Yeah, extremely. I guess, I don't know. It's hard because you look at where Chicago's been the last couple of years, obviously. But then you think about it, and the Sens have been right there with them. So I guess it's not as crazy as we really think. But I don't know.
One time you would get a lucky bounce.
We had one game down there that was like, I think it was like 7-5 or something a couple of years back. And they were up like 4-0. It was, I remember because... absolutely reamed DeZingle and Duchesne for a bad change and left me and a defenseman taking a 4-on-2 rush with Patty Kane just walking down the side of it. And I was like, do I keep him wide? Do I let him to the middle? He's got four options. And then they scored and I come off the bench and he never yelled, but he was livid about that. I'll never forget.
If I'm not mistaken, you scored in the last game that you guys beat the Chicago Blackhawks. I think you had your seventh of the season, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
I remember Chicago. I think I've told you this story. Johnny Oduya Johnny Oduya is on the it's practice. You guys are doing practice. It's trade deadline time. Mm-hmm. And so that's the Carlson trade watch. And I'm on the trip. And all of a sudden I look down at Mark Crawford, Crow, and he and Johnny Oduya are yelling at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in an FU match.
Yeah.
And finally Crow goes, "Get off the ice." And so he kicks Oduya off the ice, and I'm in the locker room after, and I'm like, I need to know what's going on. And I just remember players coming and going, "What just happened?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I wanted you to tell me." It was over. Oduya just was lazy on a drill or something. It was an offside. I don't know. But Crow says to me later, I see him at the bar that night. He's like, "I've been told to go fuck yourself by better people than Johnny Oduya."
Like, all right. Crow is incredible, man. The stories of, I got all day for Mark Crawford. I absolutely loved him.
He was so good. He was very funny.
So good. And he went straight from zero to 60 plus in less than half a second. He was so fucking funny, man. Like the thing, like, I know Oduya would have gone right back at him too, because that guy took no shit from anybody. I liked Oduya. He was quiet, just did his thing. Absolute workhorse. He won a couple of cups, I think. At least one, I would say.
But one, yep.
Yeah, great dude. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so let's get to Lock of the Day, brought to you as always by Betway, our good friends. Go to betway.ca. Must be 19 plus. Please play responsibly. Bet your way with Betway. So here we go. Yorkie's already in. He's taking Chicago.
He's taking Chicago, huh?
So, oh no, sorry. My apologies. He's taking Ottawa.
Ottawa is now 0-7-4, 6-3 in the last 9 games, but they're 6-4 in the last 10.
But Chicago can't win on the road. How that being said, they haven't played in like 3 or 4 days, so Ottawa will have the early jump. I just don't know if it'll matter at the end. And by the way, Anton Forsberg is starting in goal. He is 1-4 in his last 5.
Taking Ottawa. They break the streak tonight.
Now they're going to be because
it's like, I don't think there's no room in their game for a trap coming home after a big win. Like, they don't have that. So they're winning.
I'm going to tell Tyler Johnson that you didn't pick him.
You can tell TJ I said it. I'll text him myself.
They haven't won, or they've won 4 in a row once this season. Can they do it again?
Yes, this is the one.
Oh, Thomas Chabot is out. Tyler Kleben has been called up. He is in. Interesting that Travis Hamonic will be a healthy scratch again.
Yeah, I think he's done for the year. I think they heard us talk about that. I'm not changing my answer. I was actually gonna say that does change things for me because Chychrun's gonna be all over Bedard. So, yep.
Connor Bedard had a 1-1 in his last game, or his only game, against the Ottawa Senators. He's already scored. I think it is against 15 teams in the National Hockey League.
It's pretty impressive. Like, I'm excited for this one. I'm gonna be home just in time for my little man's skate to turn it on. It's gonna be great. So make your pick. Okay. We can go. Good,
sorry. All right. Well, So I will take Ottawa, but that's not as fun when we have a reconvene on Monday. But I will take Ottawa. I just think that they're gonna.
You do. Yeah. So we're all in Ottawa.
Yeah. So.
Oh. Do I flip it now?
Well, that's. I want to get to 500.
Yeah. You do. You don't have room to mess up. I got room. I'm playing house money. I'll take Chicago for house money.
Okay. Okay, let's see if you lose 2 in a row. Finally, you coached your 5-year-old. I'm just curious how many kids left in tears after your tweet.
You know what? I lined them up. I said, "What's your dad doing?" The kid's like, "He's a plumber." I said, "You can stay. That's an honest trade." Next kid said, "Lawyer." I said, "Get the hell out of here. Doctor, get the hell out of here."
You're too privileged.
I've met your dad. He's my gardener. You stay.
So, better be a 50-goal scorer in there then.
Yeah, that's it. But that stuff, it blew up, huh? But
wow,
that guy's useless, man. I hate stuff like that. I hate it. Why would you discredit this at all? It's a long conversation too, but
it is. Here's my only thing, and I'll make this quick. Hockey is an expensive sport. There's no getting around it. nobody has to pay for, like, there's nobody that pays for a playing surface like ice. You can rent a field. It's not nearly as hockey is inherently expensive because of ice costs, first of all. Second of all, there's a lot of gear involved. So again, that cost is up for everybody going, well, it's too expensive to play. I understand. Third thing I'm going to say, if you are good enough, people are like, well, you don't get to play higher levels if you can't afford it. There are funds available at every level to get kids to play there if they are good enough to play on those teams. Yeah. So it basically comes down to, if you can pay for, to play house and you're good enough to play AAA, they will make up the difference. And so
100%.
This whole thing of, well, it's only privileged. Okay, but every sport is. Have you ever done equestrian? It's really expensive. Have you ever had a kid in dance when you have to buy 19 outfits for one weekend? It's expensive. Every sport is expensive inherently, the higher levels you play. Let's not just pigeonhole hockey as expensive because the sticks are I get it. Yes, it's an expensive sport. But there's lots of them out there. The whole thing that you can't play if you don't have any money is not true. There's lots
of resources.
It
really isn't, because I see it down here in Nashville all the time.
That one bugs me.
And I was a player that had to utilize those funds, and I had to apply for scholarships every year, every single year. And then on top of it, I will say this. Maybe just give his parents a little credit for putting him in a position to succeed. Isn't that what we're supposed to do as parents?
So let me get this straight.
Not putting my kid in the best area to succeed, because can't have kids.
There's no people I know have borrowed money to put their kids in higher level. That's just the sacrifices you make.
You are supposed to make them to put your kids in the correct advantages.
So the other issue is the National Hockey League doesn't give a shit how much money you have. Mm-mm. If you weren't good enough to be with Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid, you wouldn't be on that line.
Right. The NCAA doesn't care. This is a guy that scored 2 and 4 goals his freshman and junior year, or freshman and sophomore year.
This whole narrative bugs me.
I don't even want to give it more gas, because I want that guy to just quietly fuck off. Part of my language on that one, but he's
useful. No. But there has been lots of cries lately about how expensive hockey is, and I get it. But
I do agree. Yeah.
But the sport itself, unless you're going to get ice for free, the sport itself is expensive to play. It's that simple. It's not for everybody in that case. And I don't know what, like, you can't play golf without some golf clubs.
Right. And tee times aren't. Yeah.
It's $75 to play a tee time or whatever. Like, how about that? Yeah. I know what there's
$35. it's not cheap, man. It is really not cheap.
Anyway, someone made the great point, and I forget. I saw it. I heard having kids itself is expensive. So
there you go.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
There you go. You don't want to know what I just paid for gymnastics for the month. I couldn't believe it. Believe it. Yeah.
But hockey, everybody wants hockey to get cheaper.
Hockey was cheaper this month.
Yes. So anyway, my only thing is, if your kids are good enough to be in those positions, they will find a way to get you there. And to say that Zach Hyman couldn't score 50 because he didn't have, because if he didn't have the money, he wouldn't have done it. It's
outrageous.
It's just nonsensical to me.
Well, I'm going to be coaching. I'm going to go wreck a couple more careers in about an hour.
110 people were drafted, I think, in his draft year. The 51% of them have played in the National Hockey League. There's probably lots of kids there who had money that didn't make it. That doesn't, just because you had money didn't make you play in the National Hockey League. Nobody cares what your bank account is in the National Hockey League.
Nope. No, none whatsoever.
This one, anyway. Okay, I'll get to go. Calm down now.
All right, man. Take a walk.
Yorkie's not even here, and I'm already wound up.
I'm gonna tell him to text you. Make sure you're okay.
All right, everybody. Thanks to Darren Pang for joining us. We will see you on Monday. Take care.
See you
Monday. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for tuning in to Coming In Hot. If you enjoyed the show, hit that like button and be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.